Chapter 2. Terra, the Imperial Palace. The sun rose over the Imperial Palace. Rays of light felt their way through the towers, citadels, and hives beyond. The elegant architecture of the surrounding fortifications was cast in shadow, while the lamps punctuating the battlement walkway began to dim. Drakon Vangarich walked the ramparts of the Celentine Wall, the tails of his robes gliding along the polished stone. The Grand Master of the Officio Assassinorum weaved through the clutter of rare and decorative plants, many of them of off-world origin, and beneath streaming red pennants. He passed statues of long-forgotten thunder warriors and monoliths listing in gold the tribes, clans, and techno-barbaric warlords gathered under the Emperor's banner at the end of the Wars of Unification. Where the battlements widened into a platform overhanging a breathtaking drop from the palace walls, Vangarich found smooth stone blocks serving as benches, but he did not sit. Instead, he stood before the crenellations with his arms folded and his hands buried in his sleeves. A casual observer might have imagined the Grand Master of Assassins to have hidden weapons in there. He did, in fact, but the truth was that it was an unconscious habit, one that he had indulged in increasingly over the past months. He might have been a killer, the overlord of an army of similarly deadly agents of the Imperium, but he was still human, and not immune to the anxiety of the times. Vangarich feared no man, living or dead, and even held his nerve in the towering presence of humanity's finest, but the beast was a raging hurricane of green death, swallowing the galaxy, and any man would be a fool to stand fearlessly before the apocalyptic savagery of such a creature. Vangarich looked down between the crenellations and gave a shiver in the morning chill. It seemed like an unimaginably long way to fall. Stretching his neck in his hood, he looked up, glad that the terrible shape of the Orc attack moon no longer hung in the heavens. Beyond the dawn skies, the Grand Master knew that there was the cold, black void, within which was an empire of broken and besieged worlds. Now, as a High Lord of Terra and with a seat on the Council of Twelve, Vangarich received daily and comprehensive reports, astropathic intelligence gathered from thousands of worlds, starforts, fleets, and systems. Robed aides brought him piled stacks of data slates on a daily, indeed hourly, basis. The reports were no different to those that Vangarich had acquired for himself previous to his appointment as a High Lord. Now they simply carried an official seal. His station had changed, Drakon Vangarich, despite his best intentions. Palace intrigue and the political games he played seemed more important than ever, given that the tiniest ripples created by the High Lords, for good or for ill, had the power of tsunamis out across the Imperium. Now, with a seat at their table himself, Vangarich felt not just the power of his new position, but the crushing weight of responsibility. In this terrible game, the beast held all the cards and had bet every wretched greenskin life on the likelihood that the Imperium would fold. That it would be consumed, as ever, by petty conflicts of its own making and therefore be ripe for destruction. The beast knew its opponent well. It was the combination of such feeble bureaucracy and an enemy the like of which the Imperium had never seen that had convinced the Grand Master of the need for action. Intervention. Drastic change in himself and everyone else. He was convinced that now was the time for such determination. Every delay cost not lives, but entire sectors. Every poor decision was not just a political setback, but could break the collective will of humanity. Every failure carried with it not only horrific collateral damage, but the very real possibility of existential doom. The beast was coming, and Terra was far from ready. His fellow High Lords and the common citizens of Terra were unified in only one thing. They both would only truly realize the need for such readiness with orcs in the corridors of the hives and the palaces of the mighty. It was time for decisive action from people with a backbone to act, High Lords who truly understood that their own private empires and armies were nothing without the Imperium, and that the Imperium was on its knees. High Lords like him. A pair of excoriators space marines approached along the battlements. Their plate, like the ramparts upon which they strode, was battle-scarred and annotated, a commemoration of the time when their brothers had held the wall against the besieging forces of the Warmaster centuries before. Between them, they escorted a member of the Ecclesiarchy, a cardinal who cut quite an imposing figure even next to the two Space Marines. Cardinal Creutzfeldt was tall and heavy-set, but carried the extra weight well. He wore his robes and mitre with grizzled authority, while his large belt jangled with smouldering censers and tomes bearing chunky locks. In a tattooed hand, he held a crozier that was crowned with a furiously burning brazier.
"Eminence," Vangorich acknowledged.
Up close, Creutzfeldt's face was a fearful mess. Horrific scars, long healed, ran down the right side of his face like the tributaries of a delta. They twisted half of his mouth into a permanent snarl. A patch, decorated with a symbol of the Ecclesiarchy, covered his right eye. Creutzfeldt had served as a ministerium priest in the ranks of the 401st Vimbari Pontificals, earning his scars against the orcs of Fendrick's world in an extended engagement that had all but claimed the regiment.
"My lord,"
Creutzfeldt returned. Having taken a spear to his chest against the selfsame orcs, his voice was a rasp. Still strong with a warrior's pride and used to carrying a cardinal's authority, he felt slightly awkward in expressing deference to a high lord of terror. Being used to sycophants and flatterers, many of the council would have taken umbrage at such reservation. Men like Creutzfeldt made them nervous, men who had seen some of the Imperium and had suffered with it. Vangorich liked him. He was exactly what the Grand Master needed.
"My condolences," Vangorich said, "on your great loss, Cardinal." "My thanks," Creutzfeldt said. "With so many weighty matters on the mind of a High Lord, it is kind of you to spare a thought for the people of Aquilius."
"And for Fleur de Fides before," Vangorich added.
After losing the cardinal world of Fleur de Fides to the Beast, Creutzfeldt had been reassigned to the seat of Aquilius. But before he could even reach his new world, it too had been taken by the orcs.
"Tragedies, both."
"Thank you, my lord."
"I have asked you here, Abriel. May I use your first name?" Vangorich said.
He didn't wait for the cardinal to answer.
"I have asked you here to consult with you about a very important appointment. As you no doubt have heard, Ecclesiarch Mesring was removed from office."
"High Lord Mesring's faith was tested,"
Creutzfeldt said, his voice rasping with unforced hatred.
"He failed that test. He failed his God Emperor, all terror and the Imperium of Man. His release was a mercy the Xenos-worshipping sack of wine did not deserve. Forgive me, my lord."
"No, please," Vangorich said. "These are emotive matters. His betrayal must have been a shock. With billions of the Emperor's faithful subjects looking to the Ecclesiarchy for leadership, it would be unwise to leave Lord High Mesring's seat empty for too long."
He didn't make mention of Corlan's decree that the head of the Adeptus Ministerium no longer counted among the High Lords. He didn't need to.
"The orcs are a grave threat indeed,"
Creutzfeldt agreed after a long, uncomfortable pause.
"If the people are to prevail against them, if their faith is to carry them through these terrible times, then they need to be shepherded to higher spiritual ground. Structures need to be maintained, figureheads visible, leadership unquestioned."
"This is why I am talking to you, Abriel,"
Vangorich said, looking off into the sunrise,
"among other strong candidates in the ranks of the priesthood. I have been charged with finding an appropriate replacement, an ecclesiarch for these dark times."
"You have spoken to Malachi?"
Creutzfeldt asked.
"Shrael? Golandriaz?"
"Among others,"
Vangorich said. He hadn't, but he would not be drawn on the matter. Vangorich took his responsibility seriously, but if the Imperium survived the Greenskin Apocalypse, then he would need a High Lord of the Adeptus Ministerium that he could control. He needed continued influence in at least one seat that was not his own. Creutzfeldt might indeed be that man, but the Grand Master of Assassins had little intention of giving up the seat just yet.
"Of course.
I would be interested to hear your opinion on our present circumstances, Bangorich said.
I have fought the orcs,
Cardinal Creutzfeldt told him.
There is not a species in the galaxy, among all the rancid Xenos filth that pollutes the void, as mindlessly destructive. They live to fight, to kill, to be the end of all about them. And these invaders, the ones that are extinguishing our worlds one by one across the segmentum, led by this monstrous beast, they are a breed apart. They are like no adversary we have ever faced. I am a humble servant of the God Emperor, and even I do not feel it heretical to claim that even he would have struggled to contain this threat.
As a humble servant of the God Emperor, Vangorich echoed him, do you feel that we could be witnessing the end of the Imperium? Creutzfeldt looked at Vangorich, who in turn stared grimly into the rising sun.
Forgive me, my lord, the cardinal said, but I feel that question to be a double-edged sword.
It is a simple enough question, the Grand Master said absently.
If I tell you, without doubt, that we can exterminate the Green Plague, Creutzfeldt said, as any in my position might be tempted to do, you would discount me as a fool, living the fantasy of an Imperium long past.
And if you tell me that we are doomed, Vangorich asked,
then I would be a fatalistic fool, said Creutzfeldt, of no use nor ornament to you or the Imperium.
Beneath the glorious dawn, Drakon Vangorich came to a decision. He turned to the Cardinal.
Then forget who I am, the Grand Master said. Let me be but one amongst billions, a terrified soul looking to my confessor for guidance, for comfort, for a truth imperial. Cardinal, let me unburden my soul to you.
Vangorich knelt before Creutzfeldt on the ramparts, his hooded head lowered.
As you wish, my lord,
the cardinal said, making the sign of the Aquila above the Grand Master of Assassins.
For even the strongest are allowed their doubts and fears. A man would not be a man without them. Speak then, my lord, as if speaking before the God Emperor himself, who sees all, who knows all. Unburden your soul.
I have lived a life of deaths, Vangorich told him, all necessary, all in service of a stronger Imperium.
The Emperor's realm was built upon such necessities, Creutzfeldt said.
I am a blade, the Grand Master said, in a box of blunt tools, tools that seek to dull my edge.
We all live to be of use, my lord.
For so long I have embodied the fears of others, but now I live my own.
As do we all.
And now all your fears are mine also, Vangorich said. I bear the burden of a man who would act but does not, in the forlorn hope that others will come to their senses and do what must be done.
It will happen.
I am not so sure, the Grand Master said, and I become less sure every day.
The Imperium has stood for thousands of years, my lord,
the Cardinal assured him. And I fear it will not last the passage of a single year more, Vangorich admitted. We have seen our armies decimated, and our fleets smashed. Impregnable fortress worlds have fallen, and the industry of forge worlds is silenced. By the hour we lose not ships and soldiers to the beast, but hive worlds and subsectors. Up until now, Terra has been a healthy world in a gangrenous empire. But the orcs are coming. The green tide rises about us. Terra is doomed, and with it the Imperium of Man.
I fear you underestimate the fortitude of the Emperor's subjects, my lord,
Creutzfeldt said.
As those subjects have underestimated the orcs, the Grand Master returned. I know it might not be a common sentiment to hear uttered within these hallowed walls, but the Imperium has a long history of overestimating itself.
Well, my lord,
the Cardinal said, uncomfortable with such truths,
you would know that better than I. I might not know much, but I know that the Imperium still stands.
True, Vangorich said, but for how long, Eminence? Fleur de Fides stood in honor of the Emperor but months ago, as did Aquilius. Now they are but mountains of smouldering masonry, turning silently in the void.
But Terra, Creutzfeldt said, is called ancient for a reason.
We stand on walls, Bangerich reminded him, that barely 1,000 years ago were crumbling before the might of the renegade Warmaster. You talk of the endurance of the past. I, like the rest of the Imperium, cannot afford that luxury. I live the threats of the present, the fears of the future.
My lord.
Forgive me, Bangerich said. I go too far. You see kneeling before you a man at odds with himself and all else. I blame the High Lords for their intransigence and politics, the people for their blindness, myself for sitting idly on my talents.
I see that, Creutzfeldt said. All the Emperor asks of us is that we act in accordance with our unique gifts. You are a man of action. My advice would be to act.
Thank you for your honesty, Bangerich said. He lowered his hooded head and half nodded to himself. He had reached a dark decision. I know that could not have been easy, especially in the viper's nest of faith and politics that is the Imperial Palace. Eminence, would you do me one last service?
Of course, Grandmaster, Creutzfeldt told him.
Would you bless me? Bangerich said. I feel the need for the Emperor's benediction in these dark times.
It would be my honour, the Cardinal said.
Creutzfeldt put his tattooed hand on the crown of the Grandmaster's hooded head, speaking the benedictions and blessings of the God Emperor as Bangerich knelt before him.
As the Cardinal drew back his hand, the Grandmaster rose. 1,000 thanks, Bangerich said, for your confidence and your service to a beleaguered Imperium.
If there is anything more I can do to serve the Imperium, Creutzfeldt said, lowering his head, then do not hesitate to call upon me.
He brought a fat thumb up to his lips. A tiny cut bled on the digit, and the Cardinal sucked it clean.
As you say, Cardinal, Bangerich said, woe betide the foe that underestimates the Imperium of Man. Now, if you'll excuse me, there are other matters that demand my attention.
My lord,
Creutzfeldt said, bowing and backing away from the Grandmaster. He turned and tapped his way along the battlements with his smouldering crozier. Bangerich watched him go. The Cardinal would be making his way through the monstrous halls and chambers of the palace back to the ecclesiarchal quarters set aside for his visit. There, he would take ill and crash to the polished floor of his chambers. For where bullet and blade had failed to fell Abriel Creutzfeldt on Fendrick's world, a microscopic pinprick of lethal poison would end the Cardinal. He would be found dead, his heart having finally given out after the many trials of his hard and illustrious life. Bangerich regretted the decision. He liked Creutzfeldt. As he knelt before him, the poison-tipped slivers of crystal he wore in his hair, waiting to pierce his hood and the Cardinal's unsuspecting flesh, he had wavered. The Cardinal would have made an excellent High Lord of the Adeptus Ministorum, an ecclesiarch the floundering Imperium deserved and needed. Unfortunately, Vangrich's need for secrecy and security trumped all other concerns. He had let his guard down, expressed genuine fears, and given voice to thoughts a High Lord of Terra could not afford to have. He could not allow word of such weakness to leave the Cardinal's lips, and so he asked for a blessing and the Cardinal's hand on his head. As ever, Bangerich was a walking arsenal of silent death. If he were to be searched, a scandal for a High Lord of Terra, the Adeptus Custodes would find no blades or pistols. He carried disguised and concealed weaponry that the blunt security measures of the palace were ill-equipped to detect. He had made a choice to deploy that weaponry and to end an ally he could not now afford to have. These were the dark choices of a man of his station, and it was time to make more. While humanity died by the world and the Adeptus Astartes fought for their superhuman lives, Drakan Bangerich would not allow Terra to fall. Like a colossal edifice, tottering on faltering supports, the Imperium needed to be strengthened, reinforced. Structural weaknesses would be torn out and new foundations established. It needed men and women who would lift a smashed Imperium upon their shoulders rather than cowards content to wander through the wreckage full of fears and excuses, cowards who hid within the walls of their emperor's fortress, dead men walking everyone else to their doom through the halls and corridors of the palace. Vangarich thought on the bodies he would have to step over to secure such a future. With worlds dying, primarchs dying, first founding chapters being exterminated to a man, Drakan Vangarich wasn't sure that anyone would notice.